Your family is invited to experience Easter with Word of God Ministries. We begin with an inspiring night of worship on Good Friday at 6:30 p.m. Return the next day for Resurrection Celebration from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ferris wheel, super slide, petting zoo, food vendors, and more for only $5 per person on Easter Sunday. Join the Word of God family for worship at 8, 9:45, and 11:30 a.m. on the Shreveport campus, or at 9:45 a.m. at the new Bossier campus located at the Boardwalk Regal Cinema. We hope to see your entire family at these exciting Easter weekend events and services.
So you take that position of victory because Jesus has promised victory. Now, when you read the word footstool, I want to make sure that we understand what that's saying, and I'm going to explain that as you turn over to the book of 1 Samuel. So go back to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel. You're going to find that right in front of the book of 2 Samuel, which is right in front of the book of Kings. So go with me to 1 Samuel 17. Let me explain footstool. Footstool is not a foot prop. Jesus didn't sit down and prop his feet up. You know, I did have them recliners where you pull the arm and the foot thing went up automatically, and you knew that was it. You remember the rocking chair had a little thing on you? What you call it? Pull in there and prop your feet up. What you call it? An ottoman. Yeah. Well, when the Bible says Jesus sat down until his enemies be made his footstool, it didn't mean he propped his feet up. Footstool means like a ladder. I need to reach a place that I can't reach without a footstool. So if I'm trying to change a bulb and I can't get up there, and then I put my foot on that footstool, and it'll take me higher. I need a footstool so I can go higher. I need a footstool so I can go high. I go to a height I can't go without the footstool. Woo! Lord, have mercy. That's good right there. So God said, I use my enemies as a footstool. See, God is glorified when you get victory over whatever it was that came against you. God then takes that thing that was coming against you and he uses it as a footstool. It's a place for him to be glorified. That's what testimonies are. Testimonies are us sharing the things that God brought us through, brought us over, gave us victory in, saved us. We were on the path to destruction and sin, saved us. He used that old life as a footstool to bring himself glory. Whatever form of deliverance shows up in your life, God is saying, I'm going to take that and use that as a footstool. I'll use that as a footstool. What the enemy said, what the enemy tried to do, that'll be my footstool. I'll use that right there to be glorified in your life. Hallelujah. So if, my goodness, if God says, and I know y'all getting excited because I get excited, and I get excited and it's contagious. But I mean, and it's okay that you're excited that I'm excited, but I want you to have your own excitement. And so for you to be as excited like I'm excited and we all get excited, we need to all be excited about the same thing and not be excited, you know. And then somebody said, what you happy about? Well, he's happy. No, I need you to be happy because you're happy. So there's a conviction that's got to come alive in you. That way, yeah, at church, everybody around you is happy like, oh, everybody said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But when you get home by yourself, are you still praising the Lord? So there's got to be a conviction inside of you. And the conviction I want in you is that the word, it five times in the New Testament says that Jesus will make his enemies his footstool. So if that be true, and it is, then why do we let what's coming against us get us down? Why do we let the enemy put us in a victim mindset? I can't ever get a breakthrough. Everybody getting a good job but me. So you can't take on that position. You say, Pastor, but it's the truth. No, it's not the truth. It's a fact. It may be a fact, but it's not the truth. Truth will change facts. The truth is what God said about you and your future. That's true. Facts change. Truth endures forever. And truth can change your fact. The fact that sister right there had stage 4 cancer a few weeks ago. The truth is now they can't find it. See, the truth changed the fact. Hallelujah. Now watch this. So you understand footstool. So why would you let the enemy turn you into a victim? Don't you let the enemy turn you into a victim. Victims don't praise him. Victims take on the position of defeat. Victims take on the position of defensiveness. Victims take on the position of excuse. Excuse justifies the condition. An excuse says, leave me alone. This is where I'm justified to be. That's an excuse. Victims don't make excuses. Victims speak the word. Victors have a different mindset about life and what's going on. You may say, well, Pastor, you're being insensitive to the things I'm going through. No, I'm trying to get you victory in the things that you're going through. It's got to change here before it changes out here. See, watch this. 1 Samuel 17. You're going to see it come together here in just a minute. Man, I'm excited about this. Hell ain't going to know what to do with you when you walk out of here tonight. But be ready, because buck private principalities have been chasing you around. And they about to have to, hell about to have to say, look here, them privates ain't going to work no more. They're going to have to raise it up to another level. So you got to be ready. Those little enemies that used to be, you know, a nuisance to you, they won't work no more. So, and I'm not trying to alarm you. I'm just trying to tell you that this is getting ready to go to another level. Hallelujah. I don't know why we even said hallelujah to that, except that Jesus is going to give us the victory. See, that's the victory in me. See, even saying hallelujah at an enemy. Hallelujah. Say it again. I mean, I was going to say it again. You say it. Now watch this. Watch this in 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. You're going to get stirred up with this. This is going to stir your faith right here. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Now the Philistines, everybody there? Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah. The Philistines gathered together their armies to battle at a place that belongeth to Judah. What is the enemy doing, taking a place in your life that belonged to Judah? Have we let the enemy take something that belonged to Judah? I said, well, let me help you with Judah. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So that Jesus' lineage is Judah. Have we let the enemy take something that belonged to Jesus? Watch this. Judah means praise. Have we let the enemy have something that belonged to praise? This ties us back to last week's message from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that there literally is victory in your praise. And when you let the enemy take your praise, then you let the enemy take that thing. Well, why, what's wrong with you today? Well, if you knew what I was going through, you'd be down too. Why did you let the enemy take Judah? You don't let the enemy take Judah. Tell your neighbor, don't let your enemy take your praise. If he takes your praise, he's already won the battle. You can't let him have your praise. Oppressed, depressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in less, trying to pass yet another test, cannot be our disposition. Tell somebody else, don't let the enemy have your praise. All right, verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. I don't have a misprinted Bible. I'm reading it again for a reason. And Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and had a helmet of brass. Don't ever forget that. He wore a helmet. That rock that David slung wouldn't have done no good with David's skill because the man had on a helmet. How are you going to kill a man with a rock when he's wearing a helmet? Unless the anointing hop on that rock. Hey! And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And so he was something to be seen right here. Intimidating. Okay? Now, let's go down and look at some things for time's sake. Because I want you to see something here. Let's drop way down. And let's just go to verse number 17. So we're about to see David show up, manifest his legacy. Nobody knew who David was until this big enemy showed up. Two of y'all might have got that. And nobody knew who David was till this big old enemy showed up. Jesus was born in the city of David, in the lineage of David, sits on the throne of David. So David is a prophetic figure that represents Jesus. So let me say it again. Nobody knew who David was till this big old enemy showed up. Nobody knew who David was till this big old enemy showed up. Nobody knew Jesus could do that until your enemy showed up. Come on, somebody. Surely I ain't got to elaborate anymore. You can feel that right there. David was a boy out in the back 40 keeping sheep. And now he's about to take the throne and fulfill his divine call. And he took this platform because of an enemy nobody else could take out. Looks to me like God's about ready to take an enemy and make it David's footstool. He's going to go higher because of this enemy. He's going to go to a place he could have never dreamed of because of this enemy. But you got to have the victor's mindset. You can't have the victim's mindset because you'll see an enemy as a way to drive you further down. But your enemy was never intended to drive you down. God intends to use your enemy to lift you up, to make his name big. Hallelujah. You ought to get excited when folk tell you what you can't do. You ought to get excited when the devil puts all those thoughts in your mind, because now that becomes a platform for God to do something massive and mighty in your life. Hallelujah. Man, I got about 20 points to make. I ain't made one. Here we go. Verse, whatever verse. What verse? 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. Because they were out there fighting this big enemy. And so David's daddy, Jesse, says, hey, go carry them some corn and some bread. All right? And because they need some nourishment so they can fight. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand. So they got now corn and bread and cheese. I don't ask. I'm not going to try that. A grilled cheese with corn just doesn't sound right. But if you're hungry, anything sounds good. And so, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare. Go check on your brothers. And take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. But that's not where they were, because they were each up on a mountain. Remember I read that? Now they're down in the valley. Okay? And so now, you know, the further you are from something, the smaller it looks. The closer you get to it, the bigger it gets. And so they now have met in this valley, which is already going to amplify the scope of things. Verse number 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. and took and went, because he was a shepherd, and took and went. And see, he was the youngest and the smallest, and he's out there keeping sheep, even when Samuel came to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be the next king. If you remember the story, David had seven older brothers. Y'all got to stay with me now. He had seven older brothers, and the word comes to Jesse, the father of these eight boys, hey, Samuel is coming to your house to anoint the next king. God has chosen one of your boys to be the next king. And what does Jesse do? He brings seven of his boys out to meet the prophet, and he leaves David out in the back 40 watching sheep. He don't even get to come to be auditioned. He's stuck in the back with the sheep while the prophet comes to anoint the next king, and he don't even get to be looked upon, because all the prophet was going to do was look upon them to anoint the next king, and he don't even get to be looked upon. Now, and that's insulting. He could have taken the victim mindset. He could have taken on the victim mindset to the point that when his daddy said, hey, go carry your brother bread and cheese, and what was the other stuff? Bread, cheese, corn. Go carry your brothers some bread and some cheese and some corn. He could have took on the victim mindset and say, I bet you would send me to carry the bread and the cheese and the corn, because I didn't even get to come up here and see the prophet when he could have. You always worried about, you know, the seven brothers, but you don't ever care anything about me. How come I always got to take the trash out of the street? How come I always got to be the one to do all of that? How come I couldn't go fight? How come I couldn't be the one to see the prophet? How come I can't ever get a breakthrough? See, that's victim status, and it would have messed him up. But instead of taking the victim status, he honors his father even over this little bitty thing. See, if God can trust you to do little things, then he can count on you to do big things. But you got to be faithful to do the little thing. People will see folk do big things, but they won't see them do little things. I remember being young in ministry, and my pastor knew all he had to do every Sunday morning was just set his shoes outside his study. That's all he had to do. Set your shoes outside your study. And every morning, I'd go get my pastor's shoes, take them back, and I'd shine them up real good and take them back and declare that how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. And I'd lay his shoes back outside his door. I wouldn't knock on his door because I didn't bother my pastor to study. I'd leave them shoes all shined up right there, and I'd go back and do what I had to do and handle my business. Nobody saw me shining my pastor's shoes, and he didn't even see me do it. Nobody saw that and those little things, but they want to see, you know, look like the Lord doing something bigger. But you got to understand that big things start with small things. It begins with carrying cheese to folk. You don't even want to carry cheese to. I didn't say that to build myself up. I said that because the Holy Ghost just reminded me of that. How God gonna get you to do something big when he can't count on you to do something little? And there are folk that won't do little stuff because they just want big stuff. You let God control your destiny. You be faithful right where you are, because what David doesn't realize is that he's put an enemy in David's path, and because he won't take on the victim mindset, and because he does have the victor's mindset, he's about to be put into position to be elevated for God's glory. My goodness, hallelujah. It's so good, I don't want to end. Let's keep reading. Don't you love his word? I love his word. Hallelujah, I love his word. Verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. See, he's still taking, he didn't go honor the call and then forget what he's supposed to have been doing. You can't go into the ministry and forget you got three kids. Yeah, I'm gonna start a church, and yeah, I'm gonna pastor people. God's called me into the ministry. You're not even taking care of your children. You need to go back and take care of your children. And your children need to know who their daddy is, and you need to meet the needs of your home. And when you get your house together, then you worry about God's house. Do the stuff. Just because God called you to do something else, don't mean you don't do what he first called you to do. Oh my goodness. I'm not trying to be ugly. I say them things, folks get all mad. I don't want you talking about. A man pull up here in a Civic with five kids, and it wasn't even legal. How in the world you get five kids in a Civic? He said, I just came to see your facilities. I just want to look around. We're getting ready to build something like this. He said, I've come to Shreveport to start a church, and I'm going to build something just like this. And I'm looking at the five kids bailing out of a Civic. I'm like, okay, you better, can we get a bigger car? Can we believe God so that your kids can each have their own seatbelt? I'm not trying to be critical. I'm really not. I'm just saying, when God called you to ministry, he did not say disconnect from husband, you're being a husband or being a father. When God calls you to do one thing, you got to make sure the other thing's still taken care of. You don't just leave that and go do something else. Stuff is coming out I didn't even know was going to come out. So he left the sheep with the keeper and took and went. See, the victim would have said, oh, he's going to make me sin, take this cheese. Well, I'll show him. He already asked me to keep the sheep. Well, I can't do both things at once. So I'll just say to the sheep, bye, and go carry my cheese. That's funny. I mean, I can see the victim doing that. And then he gets back and the sheep are gone. And then he says, what happened to the sheep? Well, I don't know. You told me to go carry cheese. I can't do everything. Just victim. Victims, I'm going to show you. You should never ask me to do this. We got to move. Come on. Yeah. So he left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench. He came to the trench. Now, were they on the mountain or in the valley? They're in the valley. And not only in the valley, in a trench in the valley. Trenches you have to dig. They dug a trench in the valley, as if you weren't low enough already. You dug a trench in the valley. If the enemy didn't look big enough as it was in the valley, you're going to dig a trench and lower yourself and make the enemy look that much bigger. No wonder they wasn't fighting. They in the valley in a trench. Well, that's a big man right there. Well, he's not as big as he actually looks. He looks big because you in a trench. If you'd get back out of that trench, he wouldn't look so big. See, the victim puts himself in a trench. The victim puts himself down. The victim makes the enemy look bigger than he actually is. The victim exaggerates the size of the enemy. A victim will exaggerate everything and make it look worse. Oh, honey. Oh, my head been hurting. I think it's an aneurysm. I mean, it's always bigger than what it actually is. A victim exaggerates what the enemy's doing. He exaggerates everything. This job's going to be the life of me. And folk are killing me. His head is killing me. There's no way out. Nobody's hiring. Nobody's hiring. You only tried one application. The enemy's always in the trench. He's down in the trench. The enemy's huge down in the trench. No wonder they wouldn't fight. They're off down in a trench in the valley. There's supposed to be no trench in the valley. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. I'm not getting in no trench in the valley. Man, this word has got so much in it. This word is packed. Glory to God. I don't even know what to read next because I don't know what else is going to come out. Now, you can squeeze a lemon and juice will come out. Like in your tea or something. And then just let it sit there and come back a little bit later. Squeeze it again and more stuff will come out. Like, man, where'd all that extra stuff come from? You just didn't squeeze it hard enough first time. this word is like lemons to me. I want to squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it until I can't get no more stuff out of it. And come back 3 hours later and squeeze again and stop me. Man, where'd that come from? Holy Ghost said, I just put some more in there. You didn't know it was in there. This word is alive. It's packed with revelation.
The message you were listening to was taken from a series entitled The Warrior Mindset. Now, in this series, we're talking about the difference between being victim and being victor. Do you know the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? It is vital that we understand how to walk in the victory of faith. So many people relate to being a victim, to being broken, defeated, down, depressed, oppressed, in a mess, can't rest, living in less. It's time for you and I to adopt a victor mindset. This series will show you exactly how to do that.
Next week on Ministering the Word broadcast.
What you gonna do? You go to your little prayer closet? Oh, you gonna mop my prayer closet? What you don't know is what's gonna come out of that prayer closet. Oh, there she go again with her little Bible. Her little Bible always on her desk. You don't know what I'm getting out of that Bible. You don't understand what I'm getting out of this thing. Hallelujah, I'm a warrior. I'm a victor. You don't know who you're messing with.
Your family is invited to experience Easter with Word of God Ministries. We begin with an inspiring night of worship on Good Friday at 6:30 p.m. Return the next day for Resurrection Celebration from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ferris wheel, super slide, petting zoo, food vendors, and more for only $5 per person. On Easter Sunday, join the Word of God family for worship at 8, 9:45, and 11:30 a.m. on the Shreveport campus, or at 9:45 a.m. at the new Bossier campus, located at the Boardwalk Regal Cinema. We hope to see your entire family at these exciting Easter weekend events and services.